Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic, where we get to know the people behind the creative industries. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcin Novelli. We're excited to tell you that our first batch of shirts have arrived and are available to purchase on our website. There's a link in our show notes, so go get them. Use the coupon code BTARocks to receive 10% off your purchase as our little way of saying thank you for your support.
This week, we're joined by LA-based musician and Grammy Award-winning songwriter, Dave Yeadon. Dave's written and written with and toured with artists such as Lady Antebellum, One Republic, Josh Kelly, and our friend Tyler Hilton. He's also performed on shows such as The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, The Late Show with David Letterman, Good Morning America, and The Ellen DeGeneres Show several times over.
His musical range is extremely eclectic. He's collaborated on hip-hop tracks, written and recorded with hardcore punk group Pierce the Veil. And as if that wasn't enough, he's also working on his own solo material. His latest EP, Move, is out now, and we're excited to get to know more about him and his journey so far. So welcome to the show, Dave.
Oh, thank you very much. I feel welcome.
Good.
I'm glad we've done our job. We can go home.
Yeah. That's it.
We've done it.
Sweet. All right.
So, Dave, we got to chatting a little bit before this interview, and I actually had to stop you. And I said, "You know what? You're too funny. This is all wasted material.
Please stop talking.
Dude,
you said I'm funny now. Nothing will be funny now."
Okay, you know what? You're not funny. You're just right. The second you said the first sentence out of your mouth when we started this call, I said, "I like you. I'm gonna like you," and I wasn't wrong. So you know what? I'd love for you to tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Three things about myself that everyone should know. My like goal in life is somehow to spread any genuine love and joy that I have inside here to other people. My favorite conversations are about the human condition, and I like walks on the beach and fireside chats. That's four things. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No, that can be an ampersand together. So it's like,
all right. Yeah. Yeah. You know. Yeah. I mean, those always go together. Don't
That's
they?
Right. They have to go together.
Absolutely. So yeah, I kind of want to dive into the songwriting side of things. I'd really be interested to hear kind of how writing for yourself is different from writing for other artists. Like what kind of is the process different? How do you approach them?
I'm particularly interested in that, just before you answer that, because I've been writing for myself for years, right? And the idea of writing for someone else excites me.
This is an excellent question. This is why, because for me personally, actually the I was always better at writing for other people than I've been writing for myself, because every time that I wrote for myself, I asked myself idiotic questions like, what do I want from this? And how should it sound? And how am I going to brand myself as an artist? And then like, if I'm writing with somebody else, like a lot of times it will be like, oh, well, I really like this Flume track. An artist recently played me a Flume track and was like, I love this thing. If we could write something like this. And in that case, what it does, or in my case in particular, is it gets me completely out of my head. And I go just try to make something, and I have fun trying to make something that captures the spirit of the track that was our inspiration. And what I found until about the last like 5 years is that I unwittingly was saving that like unbridled creativity for other artists and not myself. So So now it's the same. Now the question is just like, because I think sometimes as artists and as songwriters, what we do is we get worried that, like, especially if you're writing for yourself, you get it. There's a concern that you will somehow not come across, as opposed to when you write for somebody else and they're like, well, I would like to do something like this, then you don't, that becomes a non-issue. You don't worry about them not coming across, because of course they are. And really, this is because we are terribly subjective when we look at ourselves and not, you know, objective. But,
well, you know, I love that we're chatting with you right now, because this is something that we don't get to talk about often in the show, but is the actual craft of songwriting. We've had a few songwriters on the show, but you know, and everything you're saying, I can completely relate to, especially the idea of, like, most songwriters don't just write in a certain genre. Like, people might be used to hearing them in that genre because they've branded themselves.
Right.
You know, I've always tried to be a bit more eclectic, you know, for better or for worse. Sometimes it's harder to kind of pin that person down, which is bad on a branding side of things. But another side, if you get the right people that just dig your voice or dig something right. you do, they'll get into right. everything you do. I mean, that's what I tell myself, at least, you know. But it's really funny, because my idea of what, you know, songwriting was for somebody else, to me, it seemed like it was very limited. And yet what you're saying here, it's sounding to me, it's actually kind of,
I view it as the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting to me.
I view it as definitely as the complete opposite. And I had to teach myself to do that for myself as an artist,
when you're writing for someone else, do you still draw from personal experience? Or sometimes yes, sometimes no? Like, how do you approach it?
My experience personally is that the more personal you get, the more relatable it is.
I've always been the same way, man.
Yeah.
Probably why I've only written for myself, not realizing that it's a human experience. Why not write for
someone? It's a human experience. Yeah. 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 And then, and the more personal you make it, like, if you had what you view as a weird, like, what's interesting is that if you have what you view as a weird or funny experience that is unique, and therefore you end up, well, here's the thing, is that it ends up being a thing, right, that you tell people, a lot of people about. You know, it's a funny thing, because if you have a unique story, what do you do? You tell it at parties, and it's entertaining to people. And it's entertaining to people because you have this, because we're actually, like, way more deeply related than that. And the more unique of a story is, ironically, the more entertaining everybody else finds it. So, but it's because you're telling a story that people can put themselves in, and you're telling a story about, well, whatever it is, people put themselves in it and go, wow, how would I react? Or when was the last time I felt that way, or whatever. So, you know, I find that the more personal that you get, the more relatable it is to everyone.
I mean, unless you're a sociopath, you should have what's called empathy. Able to, you know, and I also think it's kind of that situation where
being a sociopath, I find that even though it still is relatable. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you as well. Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I just have found another way to manipulate human beings, and I'm really excited about it. It's easier than I thought. Here I thought I could never relate because I don't care about anyone. So.
Were you the child that really manipulated everyone to get what you wanted? Because I think I was. That probably makes sense now.
You still are.
I think that's I think that's all children.
My kids. Well, my oldest son does that. Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. Continuing on the writing conversation, do you find that writing in different genres, some of which might actually be out of what maybe you would consider your comfort zone, does that help you grow as a writer? Like, for example, like, you worked in hip hop. I don't know if that you have much background in hip hop, but would something like that help you out when you go to approach a punk record?
Yeah, of course.
You're realizing it?
Well, okay. Number one, like, of course, like, Western music is all, like, heavily related, right? So, I think, and hip hop is, you know, began as sampled funk and really continues to be that. So hip hop is sampled soul music so often, and soul music is the root of so much music, including punk music, because punk music is rooted in rock music, which is rooted in the roots of blues. So, I find it all to be more related than I think people, than it seems to be on the outset. But then also what's cool is that music, you know, hip hop, for example, became so big that I think maybe in the 80s and 90s, it wasn't as related to pop music. But if you think about it, I mean, was it Run DMC, right? And Aerosmith? I mean, it like started to like, because those beats, so many of those beats, there are so many rock bands that are soul that even if not all of their songs have this, you have these like very, very like soul rooted grooves, especially rock bands like the Black Crowes, right? Especially the older rock bands. The older rock bands, Led Zeppelin, I mean, it was like born out of the blues, right? So and then in the case of Pierce the Veil, they're a really, really musical band. And and they're all about the riff, and hip hop is all about the riff. People don't listen. You have to remember that the way everyone listens to music is probably the way that you listen to music when you're just like chilling and not fucking thinking about anything. Mm-hmm. Like you receive it as a piece of art. You don't like, as it begins, you don't go, now I wonder, is this blues or is this,
I hate doing, you know, that.
We don't do that. Right. And people don't do that. So one of my favorite things is to approach a song as a piece of art. Like, how can I get, you know, like, how can I get, what are we going to do in this song that's going to just grab people's attention and be like, oh, you know, what's going to make them want to hit play when it comes to the end of it? And if you approach it that way, then all of a sudden genre doesn't matter. And all that matters is like sound. And that's what always mattered. Like when we were kids and we started listening to the radio, it was just fascination with sound. You learned later that was a guitar amp. You know,
learn that you should be listening. Like I was going to say, this is 2016 and the exciting time about now, you know, despite the whole music industry where it is, as songwriters and as artists, I think it's a really exciting time because most people, I'm talking even like maybe teenagers and upwards, they don't care as much about genres. They don't care if they're listening one particular genre. I remember when I was a kid, it was more so like, oh, you're not going to listen to that. Aren't you going to listen to metal? Aren't you going to listen? And I think it's kind of changed a little bit. I mean, there are still people like that, but I think it's a lot more open. And I think that's very exciting that we can just kind of, there's so many people crossing genres, quote unquote, and, you know, just doing kind of whatever the hell they want. And I actually personally find that really exciting, especially now, especially in 2016, when there's so much saturation of stuff. Do something that excites me and gets my attention, but that's just a great piece of art.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
You know, well, you know, so, you know, going back to the first part of that question, would you say that all of this makes you a better writer?
Yes. I'm sorry. I actually did not answer that question at all now, did I?
It's okay. I gave you like three questions there. So.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Because, well, via like opening your aperture and opening the idea that like music is art. And when you begin to approach all songs like a piece of music that you're trying to get like the beat and notes that precede the notes just to be interesting and I think that yes, it begins to, you begin to approach writing from like, is it a good song? Not, is this good punk? Is this good punk music? And also, you know, art is constantly changing. So I think it's very dangerous to look at it any other way than, is this an entertaining piece of art that that my mother is going to enjoy and that like, you know, my 10-year-old like nephew is going to enjoy.
So you've had both the major label and the independent artist experience. What would be the pros and cons in your experience to each, and which would you say you prefer? Maybe more specifically, which do you prefer at this point of time?
Well, it all ends up being, you know, at the end of the day, an experience, like experience to experience is different. But the problem with dealing with a big label, especially now, is that they are scared shitless that they're not going to make any money. And so just like with the major movie studios, they're for the most part churning out a lot of shitty music because they are looking at the bottom line. And the bottom line in a business always matters, but there's a lot of pandering in like bigger businesses, you know? And so it's not any different when it goes to the bigger, the biggest businesses in music and in art, it's a lot of pandering. It's a lot of, and there's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of like, well, is that like how closely related does our artist that resembles Rihanna a little bit, how closely related or how close does it sound to how close does her latest single sound to Rihanna's last single? Because if it doesn't sound enough like Rihanna's last single, we're not going to put it out. And it's just really just killing art, and they've been killing art, you know. So I would say that's the problem with it. And then of course their pockets are way deeper. So if they love you, then you're going to make more money, and they're going to throw you at more, like, you're going to get more opportunities.
It's kind of one of those things, like, their reach is so much further if you are on their radar. But if you're one of the many, vast majority of artists that get signed to major labels, but then kind of either get dropped or on the wayside, then you're screwed. So in the indie label, you're kind of more attention, but less reach than maybe a major label. So there's definitely pros and cons, right? Dave, are you ready for 20 questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do this, man. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Oh, man. Vegetables.
Nice. Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
Melody or rhythm?
Ha! Rhythm.
The Simpsons or Family Guy?
Damn. Simpsons. No, I'm sorry. Family Guy.
Houston or Los Angeles?
Houston.
Education or experience?
Fuck. Isn't that the same thing? Experience.
Bob Dylan or Bob Marley?
Bob Dylan.
Indie or major?
That's a hard one, by the way. Indie.
Talent or attitude?
Talent.
Writing or performing?
Performing.
The Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
Stones.
Aretha Franklin or Stevie Wonder?
Duh! Ah! Stevie Wonder!
Batman or Superman?
Superman.
Twerk or work?
Twerk!
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson.
Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Marilyn Manson.
Good answer.
Whale or kale?
Kale. They simply rhyme, that's all. Same with the next one. Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Bette Midler.
And finally, keep in mind, I'm also a singer-songwriter. I'm pandering. I'm going to stop.
Yeah, stop pandering, Marcia. So we're going to ask you to choose between Ross, your technical support assistant, or Marcio, the pandering singer-songwriter.
That is terrible. That is a terrible question to ask.
We know.
People.
Oh yeah, we know. We're kind of sadistic.
I'm going with Ross.
Oh my god! You gotta be kidding me! Oh my god! I thought I had this. I thought this was it. I thought this was gonna be like, you know what, Dave? You and I, we're gonna work together, man. We're gonna have this great relationship, great friendship. We're gonna look back 10 years down the road.
Marcio,
we're gonna be like,
it's
all because you picked.
You can still have that.
Marcio is too obvious of an answer. That's like,
okay. It's just, you're just being nice to Ross. That's what it is.
It's very sweet. And let's be honest, his accent is cooler than both of our accents.
Of course. Even sick, Ross. Like, I thought I was going to win. You're sick today. And like, you still win. Now that, you should be proud of yourself, man. Even sick, you win. You know, that's good. I hate you for it.
But feeling pretty good. Know. I'm feeling like I could actually go and take on the world right now.
Oh, do you? Yeah?
Not really. But
all right, well, we're going to switch topics here before I start pulling my eyes out. I got a more technical question for you. We've been talking a lot about creativity. I'd like to talk about the business side of it. Maybe if you can offer a little bit of advice for anyone who'd actually like to get their songs in front of publishers, what are the kind of initial steps that they can take to get them in front of the right people, really like clear, simply laid out?
Okay, well, number one, that like every songwriter is trying to do that, right? So the thing is that's something that runs all the way up to me. Like, I can't get my songs in front of everybody that I want. So there's definitely not like, this is how you do that. Because if there was, like, there'd be a line and I'd be standing in it right now while we do the interview. I think that the one of the, like, especially now, like, we're in the world and day of self-publishing. And when I say self-publishing, I don't mean necessarily like a song publishers, but like, well, really, I actually do in terms of even music publishing, which is that, like, you can't get a song cut unless you have a spoken version of it. So you have to demo your own stuff and demo it really, really well. If you're not a good singer, you got to find a good singer. If you're not a good producer, you got to find a good producer. Or you just have to have those basic versions of the songs with, again, somebody special singing it. So that would be the number one reason to do it, because if you've written a great song and you have a great performance to that song takes on a life of its own, and you can send it to whoever. But at that point, and then, you know, other than that, it's I think a lot of artists don't realize that if you want to do art for business, then you have to, like, think like a business person, and you know, that involves, like, hanging out. You go to shows, go to where, like, if you want to be part of music, then go to where music is. Go to shows, go to mixers, go to whatever. Never pay to do it. Never, like, there's lots of businesses out there that, like, are literally saying, if you pay us, we'll put your songs in front of people. And generally, the thing is that those businesses...
I've been offered that. And I right. turn it down every time.
Yeah, but the thing right. is well, those businesses can't make any promises. And the thing is that I am with some very big publishing companies and placement companies, and those guys, like, there isn't a guarantee. Like, you can't be like, I mean, the ins that people have are like, there's just not a guarantee. There isn't a guarantee. So really, I think at the end of the day, the best thing to do is have really great versions of your songs and do what you can to make them available. And if you can't, if you're not getting your songs, if artists aren't cutting your songs, then go find an artist to cut your song. You know, it's DIY. It really is. And if you read about a lot of your favorite songwriters and people like that, that's what it was. You know, and if you live in Boise, Idaho, probably move, you know.
I'd like to ask you really quickly, like, what if there's one piece of songwriting advice that you've been given that you'd like to pass on? If there's one quick thing that you've learned, what would that one thing be?
It's all about the little kid. If this voice inside of you, this thing, that this ageless voice, this spirit, whatever you want to call it, like, if you get to the end of a song that you have written and you want to hit play again, that you've done all that you can do. And after that, whether or not it's a really great song or relatable is actually up to other people.
I'm going to keep that, man. That's very valuable. Definitely very valuable, because it takes away all the other crap and shit. And who's going to like this? Bringing it back to the beginning. Is this the right genre? Oh, you know, can I really do a song like this? Will people think this? And, you know, we all do it. Doesn't matter how comfortable you are with yourself or uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and going along this vibe, you know, another really quick question I really want to ask you, if you can go back in time and tell yourself one thing that you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be?
You know, this is going to be funny, but dress cooler.
Oh, that's good.
And you want to know, do you want to know why?
Why?
Because it's a very interesting thing, man. Musicians, songwriters, all that, we have this idea that our music is only here, listens here. But again, if you want to do it for business, then this becomes what is selling your art. You are your brand.
I hate thinking that, especially as a solo artist, it's very difficult, because you it's just on you, not a band look or not a logo. It's you.
Dude, you know, it's all good, man. I mean, you either embrace that and you have fun with it. Bowie.
Yes,
Prince,
I love that shit.
You know, fucking whoever. You either embrace it or you hate it. But it's, that's so silly to hate something that's been part of this like art culture for so long, which is like, I mean, that's like music and pop culture and art and fashion and style has gone together for so long. And so, and the bottom line is, look at this. Bottom line is if some douchebag comes up to you and is talking about the songs he got cut or whatever, but he looks like a fucking badass, the fact is you're going to believe him, even though he might be lying.
That's true. Fake it till you make it.
But it's not that. It's like fucking care.
Yeah.
Like, are you the shit? Well, why don't you fucking look like it then?
I love that.
Like, why aren't you completing the, you know, this is the fucking package, man. I mean, that is even past business. That's just a human dynamic. And what's really funny for us as artists is that to go get a job that you might need to pay the bills in the meantime, you will dress up. You will go interview at the fucking, to be a bartender or manage a grocery store or whatever, and you'll go and you put on a fucking tie and do whatever you think it is that you need to do to look how they want you to look. But then if you want to be a rock star, you don't do the same fucking thing. When you show up to a show or an interview or whatever.
Sorry. I think too many artists think that it's too fake or they have to dress themselves, but I'll use a great example. I often reference this artist on the show. Ross knows I'm going to say Jared Leto is a great example. The reason I'm going to say that is because
I agree.
You can watch Jared Leto and one day he could be wearing the most like rocked out attire when he's playing a show, and the next day he can be in full out Gucci clothes in a suit because he's at like a film festival or something.
Yeah.
And
he has fun with it.
And it doesn't mean that it's not real to him or true. It's different. We all have different sizes of our personality and you all dress for what you're doing. You're not going to go, I mean, you might go on the stage in a suit if that's what you're going for.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, he has fun with it. I do that all the time, man. I don't have the same thing, but same vibe that I do, but you have fun. Like it's supposed to be fucking fun. Like if you don't have a weekly or a monthly paycheck, if you don't have, there's all these things that we give up as artists. But the thing is that if you don't enjoy the stuff that is ours, well, what the fuck are you doing? Like, go, you know, manage a fucking grocery store then. Like, dude, you know?
I love it, man.
I like that I'm angering grocery store managers.
I know, right?
It's like, I don't think there's going to be many grocery store managers watching this. No. They're not really our target audience.
But if they're liking doing that, that's cool. The whole point is enjoy what you're doing, have fun with it, right?
Like, yeah. Have fun with it. Like,
you get me pumped.
You know what's really funny is that every now and again I'm out somewhere even in Los Angeles, so I have two tattoos on my hands, right? And so sometimes people will say, like, man, a hand tattoo, you really went for it. and I'm like, but now I know that like it's people that are thinking from a perspective of like, wow, you can't go get a job at a bank now.
Right.
And, but it's like, yeah.
That's the point.
That's not a fucking option.
I love this. I love your energy. You know? Man.
This is what we get to do. You get to, you know, do crazy shit to like, you know, like whatever it is, and you know, give yourself hand tattoos and whatever, do what the fuck you want to do. But like,
shit, man, what kind of YouTube shit do you wish that you would do? Because you were talking about before the interview about, you know, you do all these great videos and, you know, which by the way, I need to say you're a phenomenal piano player. Just phenomenal.
Dude,
mind blowing. You really,
Marcio,
really are.
Thanks, man. Thank
it's
you
true.
Very much.
I only speak the truth. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, as artists, we do these artful videos and we try to show people, look how complex the song is that I wrote and everything. But what gets the most views?
I think that like at the end of the day, what's really funny, do you guys know who Tim Minchin is?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Australian musician, comedian.
Okay.
He wrote the Matilda musical.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And so Tim Minchin's got a song where it's in his fucking brilliant, and the end he says, he talks about all of my brilliant metaphor and all of my this and all of my licks and all of my chords will never be as popular as kitten playing something, and it's like this thing of just a YouTube video of a fucking
kitten playing the keyboard. I think that's
some shit, you know, like and like all this stuff, like all this, like I right now I'm doing a full piano. It's taken me like several days. I'm doing a solo piano version of the new Pierce the Veil single, right?
Oh wow.
And it's fucking hard, and like all the guitar parts are really fast, and I'm doing this thing of like trying to maintain some of the edge, and it's taken me days. And also it's a very long, it's a long song, lots of parts, and so like I'm doing all this stuff, and really what I should be doing is just playing the piano with my dick is what I should be doing. What I should be doing. I should just have videos where like I walk up to the piano, you can't quite see it, and I just drop trowel, you know, and it's like here, you know, and then there is a video like that where these dudes like do that and then they raise their hands and play. That's what I should do. Except I should, like, it should be worse than that. You know, it should be like, you should see that I have my hand down here and I'm trying to hit the piano. And I would have hundreds of thousands of subscribers. Nike would be like advertising on my channel.
Just do it.
Yeah. I have a cute little son. I could have him like stand on the piano pointing and laughing. And look, I have the idea. There it is.
There you go.
I have
it
right in front of me.
Someone's going to do this.
You know what?
Someone's going to do it. They're going to make millions.
Yeah. That's the fucking next Donald Trump of piano YouTube videos. That's who that is. And I can't bring myself to do it. I apologize.
Dave, you were awesome. I want everyone to go check out your new EP Move, which is actually out now. And you can find more of this guy's craziness on his Instagram, which is?
Instagram.com/Davied.
Awesome.
Just
awesome.
My name. Yeah.
Cool. And you'll find us, as in Bridge the Atlantic, on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, and YouTube. Just search Bridge the Atlantic. You'll find us. Come and say hey. You know, we always like to chat to everyone.
Yes. As for me, I'm working on my second full-length solo album, and you can be a part of it at marcinavelli.com/pledge. Make sure to follow moi on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify, which are all my name, Marciano Velli.
And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment. You can check out my work and my blog at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi and Facebook Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by Chris Keaton, the Rockstar Advocate, Buck Naked Soap Company, 30 Roses, and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes, so please check them out because they keep this show alive.
And if you want to be part of that awesome crew, you can sponsor the show at patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic.
And don't forget to pick up our new shirts. We're so excited about them. Okay, Dave, seriously, dude, you are awesome. Such a pleasure to have you on the show. Such a pleasure.
Pleasure to be here.
It's been a really good time.
Yeah.
My face hurts from laughing. So.
Yeah, my face is pretty sore, so thanks for that.
Thanks. I'm going to get wrinkles now because
what
of you.
She said. Think,
yeah.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.